as we talk to people during the week, yeah, we're rolling, right? We're going, okay, I'm sorry. As we talk to people during the week, especially people outside the congregation or in the church world that we associate with, we'll hear some things that we just don't agree with all the time. And we think they're against Scripture. But I cannot fault the church, because I even hear it within the Messianic movement itself, mostly because they've come out of the church world and are still carrying around some of those old teachings. Now, this week I want to discuss one of those topics, and I've titled it Wash, Repeat, Wash, Rinse, Repeat. It's a bit flippant. I'll admit this. It's a bit flippant. But when it comes to covenants, this is kind of what you see. An attitude of wash, rinse, and just repeat. Adonai does not want us just to, as we get a new covenant, move on from the old one. It's not like shampoo. Put it in our hair, let it work for a while, but then rinse it out. That's not the case with his covenant. We're supposed to maintain them constantly, even as new ones come along. But there are so many who feel like there's no room for the previous covenant when a new one is given. Especially when it comes to that final covenant, which the world calls the new covenant. They feel like once they've accepted the latest and greatest covenant, that they can just rinse themselves of all the other covenants that were made, that Adonai has made. When we look at the covenants that were made in Scripture, we see them about the same way. We see the cycle that people live through. Both in Scripture and our life, people live through a cycle. So for non-believers, it goes sin, wander in the wilderness, sin, wander in the wilderness, sin, et cetera, et cetera. That's the cycle until the final day of either their final breath or when the world comes to an end in Yeshua and Yeshua returns again. For people of the covenant, the people who believe Messiah Yeshua, well, we have a cycle too. Of course, both of them start with creation. And then it's covenant, break the covenant, sin, repent, come back into covenant with Adonai, and then what? Sin, break the covenant, repent, come back into covenant, and then what? Sin, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. That's the cycle for most of us because, hey, we're just flesh. We're not expected to be perfect, although we strive to be, but we can't be. So it becomes just repeating the whole thing again and again and again. It's a wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat in our lives. Over and over it seems to go. From Adam and Eve to Revelation, this is the story of all men. Within Deuteronomy, we see this also played out with the departure from Egypt, then going through the waters of the Red Sea, after which a covenant was made at Mount Sinai, and then they sin again, bringing death to the generation, and a time in the desert. Then after that, the people return to Adonai, a covenant is remade. They enter into the promised land. This cycle is repeated over and over in Scripture and in our lives. Even as much as we try not to sin, our flesh is our flesh, and we're going to run ourselves through that cycle. As much as we don't want to, that's the cycle we're going to be in. I was thinking about this from a passage that's towards the end of the portion this week. It's the last verse of Deuteronomy 28 in the Hebrew Scriptures. It's the first verse of Deuteronomy 29 in your English Bibles. It's Deuteronomy 28:69. And my clicker is not working. The light says it's working, but it'll get me there. Thank you. So Deuteronomy 28:69 says this. These are the words of the covenant that Adonai commanded Moses to make with Bnei Israel in the land of Moab, in addition to the covenant he made with them at Horeb. Let's see if it works now. There we go. The Ruach brought me to these words that said here, in addition to the covenant he made with them at Horeb or Mount Sinai. I've read this verse many times over the years, but this time was a little more meaning to the verse for some reason. It combined itself rightly with the other covenants that Adonai had already made with man and were going to make with man still from that time. It showed clearly that it was an addition and not a replacement of the other covenants that he had made, which when you think about the floodwaters of Noah, aren't you glad? Now, the word that's translated for addition is also found in Leviticus 23, which gives us a bit of insight into what Adonai is saying there. So Leviticus 23, 37 and 8 says this. These are the Moedim of Adonai, which you are to proclaim to be holy convocations, to present an offering by fire to Adonai, a burnt offering, a grain offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, each on its own day, besides those of Shavuot, which of Adonai, and besides your gifts, all your vows, and all your freewill offerings, which you will give to Adonai. So the Hebrew word for in addition in Deuteronomy and besides in Leviticus is the same word, and that word is bad. Not that the word is bad, it's just bad. We see that the offering was made for the feasts of Adonai were not to be replaced or overtake those for Shabbat, but were in addition to them. They were to stand alongside of and to work together in order to honor Adonai. The same word used in Deuteronomy also means that the covenants that were previously made are not done away with, but also stood besides and also were considered still relevant and necessary. This shows that each time the covenant is made, it's really a restating and not really a different covenant, but just a different verbiage to a different generation, restating the same covenant. Adonai does not change, and therefore his covenant does not change either. I think of it as he's revealed a little bit here, and then he's revealed a little more, and then he's revealed a little more. It doesn't mean it's changed, it just means that he's revealed more of it. Now, I understand why people think of them as different, but I think that having the thought of a continuation of the saying would be more helpful to see the truth of Adonai, an unchanging God. The Torah is revealed to us little by little. No one sees the fullness of the Torah the first time they read through it, or the second, or the third, or really ever. It's little by little, each time we read it, we get a new revelation out of it, something new. Torah is a lesson to be learned and a guidance for us until that time that we have a great understanding or a greater understanding of it. We get a picture of this when Paul wrote in Galatians 3:23, starting there. Now, before faith came, we were being guarded under Torah, bound together until the coming faith would be revealed. Therefore, the Torah became our guardian to lead us to Messiah, so that we might be made right based on trusting. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for you are all sons of God through trusting in Messiah Yeshua. For all of you who were immersed in Messiah have clothed yourself with Messiah. The Torah is both lessons to learn and a guidance to live by. For us, while under the covenant that is called old. It's like the nanny. Well, none of us, I assume, had nannies. But it's like as if we had a nanny whose job it was to take us to school, make sure we got to school, made sure that we learned the lesson, and when we didn't learn the lesson, made sure we knew how to atone for it, what to do about it, and then made sure we got home. Once graduated from school, the nanny was no longer needed because the lessons were learned. The morals and the sacrifices learned were still in effect. The difference now is that the lessons are no longer in a book or on a tablet of stone, but now they're in our minds and are being written on our hearts. And the sacrifice made are not animals over and over, but Yeshua's blood once for all time. The old covenant, or the older covenant, is not done away with, since the morals to live by and the need for the atoning sacrifice is not done away with, but are filtered through new eyes that see the Messiah and his place taken as one who is the sacrifice. The sacrifice is still needed when moral or spiritual laws are broken, but the perfect sacrifice was already made for us by the blood of Yeshua, and we just need to accept it. Just as it was needed to be accepted when it was bulls and goats, we have to remember the first coming of Messiah did not do away with anything really. This is what Yeshua himself says in Matthew 5. Matthew 5:17. Do not think I came to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I tell you, until heavens and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or serif shall ever pass away from the Torah until all things come to pass. Yeshua says that the words of the instructions and the prophecies have not departed because of his arrival. The covenants are a part of the Tanakh, and therefore also are not done away with. Yeshua could not have been saying, well, except for that part over there. He never said that. He did not set aside anything that was written in the Tanakh, which includes the covenants. And covenants do not do away with other covenants. Listen to what Shaul said to the Galatians in the same chapter, but a couple of verses earlier. So Galatians 3, starting in 15. Brothers and sisters, I speak in human terms. Even with a man's covenant, once it was confirmed, no one cancels it or adds to it. Now the promises are spoken to Abraham and to his seed. It doesn't say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is the Messiah. What I am saying is this. Torah, which came 430 years later, does not cancel a covenant previously confirmed by God so as to make the promise ineffective. Shaul says that the Torah, which is 430 years after Abraham and the covenant given through him, did not cancel out covenants made previously. And he also says the covenants once made cannot have things either added to it or removed from it. What the world called the old covenant is not old. It's actually still current. Even today, we live by the same covenants made even all the way back to Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, and going forward to Yeshua's word and deeds. Now, there are five, and what many will call five enduring covenants. Some count more covenants, some count less. I haven't included the one from Adam and Eve, which just said, I'm going to be with you all the time. So I'm going to pick up from Noah. Noah's covenant said this, Genesis 9:8. And these are big chunks of scripture I'm going to be reading. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, Now, behold, I am about to establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, including the flying creatures, the livestock, and every wild animal with you. Of all that is coming out of the ark, every animal on earth, I will confirm my covenant with you. Never again will flesh be cut off from the waters of the flood, and never again will there be a flood to ruin the land. Then God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I am making between you, me and you, and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. My rainbow do I place in the cloud, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the land. We see that Adonai makes the covenant that he will never again destroy the land with water. And the rainbow is the sign of the covenant. Notice who he made the covenant to. It was to Noah and his seed after him. Since there was no one else left on earth, that meant all men who were to come from all three of his sons, as well as the animals on the ark. And he gave us that beautiful rainbow to see and remind us of the covenant that would never end. Now, the next one to look at, the next covenant, is Abraham. Abraham in Genesis 17:7. Yes, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your son and your seed after you throughout your generations for an everlasting covenant in order to be your God and your seed's God after you. I will give to you and to other seed after you the land where you are an outsider, the whole land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. I will be their God. God also said to Abraham, as for you, my covenant you must keep, you and your seed after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant that you must keep between me and you and your seed after you. All your males must be circumcised. The covenant is that they will get the promised land, and the sign will be the circumcision of the males. Now, this didn't reduce or remove the covenant of Noah, but stood alongside and along with it. There is nothing in the words of the Abrahamic covenant that says, oh, and by the way, the former words are no longer to stand, or the promise was not for forever. Now, the next one is through Moses. We read that in Deuteronomy 29:9. You are standing today, all of you, before Adonai your God. The heads of your tribes, your elders, your officials, all the men of Israel, your children, your wives, the outsider within your camps, from your wood choppers to your water carriers. Each of you is to cross over into the covenant of Adonai your God that he is cutting with you today and into his oath. This is in order to confirm you today as his people. So he will be your God, just as he promised you, and just as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Not with you alone am I cutting this covenant and this oath, but with whomever is standing here with us today before Adonai our God, and with whoever is not here with us today. The covenant was made to all the people who were there. Moses tells us just who was there: the leaders and all the people of Israel. Also the outsiders, right down to the slaves who chopped wood and carried water. Those would be the Gentile nations who were taken as servants during war or by treaty at that time, but would also include Gentiles who were traveling with them and united themselves to be there and to be grafted into Adonai. All of his creation was to be covered by the covenant, but the covenant did not negate the previous ones. It was to be seen as a layering onto the previous ones, not a replacement of the previous ones. Again, no words from Adonai to forget the previous promises or to put them aside. The next generation, the next covenant, is through King David. And I'm going to read a chunk. This is a big chunk for me. I don't normally read this much, but it's important. We're hearing Adonai through the prophet Nathan, who was sent to King David. So 2 Samuel 7, verse 8. So now, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says Adonai Tetzvaot, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, over Israel. I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make your name as great as the greatest on earth. I will also set up a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so they may dwell in their own place and not be disturbed again. Nor will the children of wickedness afflict them any more as in the past, since the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. So I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, Adonai declares to you that Adonai will make a house for you. When your days are done and you sleep with your fathers, I will raise up your seed who will come forth from you after you, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish his royal throne forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. If he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and with the strokes from the sons of men. Yet my loving kindness will not be withdrawn from him as I withdrew it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. So your house and your kingship will be secure forever before you. Your throne will be established forever. So we hear in this covenant that Adonai will be with them. Sounds like the covenant through Noah. And that they will be given the lamb, which sounds like the covenant to Abraham. And now we hear just a little bit more from Adonai. He says he will establish an eternal king through David's bloodline. What we see is not the elimination of previous covenants, but the restatement and addition to them. The word bad in Hebrew, the standing beside and even extending it further, is what we've seen before. Not a recreation, but a revealing of more. Whereas before it was people, then land, now it's also the how it will be accomplished through the Messiah that would come from the family of David, which of course is Messiah Yeshua. The promise of the Messiah was not made just that once, but multiple times through multiple prophets over many decades and centuries. The promise of the Messiah and the fact that we have seen the Messiah on earth is called, of course, the New Covenant. The funny thing is, the New Covenant is that it's seen a few times in what the world calls the Old Covenant. Let's look into Jeremiah, which so many are familiar with. Jeremiah 31, 32. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. It is a declaration of Adonai. I will put my Torah within them. Yes, I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will each teach his neighbor or each his brother, say, know Adonai, for they will know me, from the least of them to the greatest. It is a declaration of Adonai, for I will forgive their iniquity, their sin I will remember no more. Here is the promise of the new covenant. The promise that many believe has been fulfilled. But I believe there's a problem for those who say it's been fulfilled already. And that fulfillment does away with all the other covenants, as many within the church world would say, and even some within the Messianic movement I've heard. The question I have to ask is, has it actually been fulfilled? And have the previous covenants been done away with? The covenant through Jeremiah says that no longer will people have to teach about Adonai because each will already know. Then why is the Great Commission still a thing of the going out to tell others about Messiah? Why are there still parts of the world that have never heard the good news? And if the previous covenants were not rescinded by this, the next covenant, then why would we think that Adonai would change his way this time and remove the previous covenants by this one, regardless if it's been fulfilled or not? When we look at the words of the writer of Hebrews, we hear this about Yeshua, Hebrews 10:12. But on the other hand, when this one offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from then on until his enemies were made a footstool to his feet. For by one offering he has perfected forever those being made holy. The Ruach HaKodesh also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will cut with them. After those days, says Adonai, I will put my covenant upon their hearts, and upon their minds I will write it. Then he says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Yeshua sits at the right hand of Adonai since his time on earth ended. And he's waiting for the enemy, Satan, to be made a footstool for him. After the resurrection, all will have the word of Adonai engraved on our hearts, and then the need to witness to the love of, and the word of Adonai will not be necessary. We all go through the same cycles in life. We all walk life the same way. We all go through the cycles the same way. For those who are not yet believers in the atoning blood of Messiah Yeshua, the life cycle is shortened. It goes from sin to wilderness wandering to sin, and it just repeats over and over, never to be broken until the mind is made aware of the atonement of blood of Messiah Yeshua and his acceptance of it. For those who believe, we go through a cycle as well. Ours goes from sin to a period of wandering, to atonement by blood, to the eternal promise of the promised land, to sin. And this goes on for all believers, because all are sinners. back to sin, to atonement, to promise again. And it seems we all go through it until the second return of Yeshua the Messiah. The good news is that we're never too far for the atonement to take place in our life. Listen to someone who says that he's the greatest sinner in the world, but still is sure that none is too far from Adonai, not even this great sinner. 1 Timothy 1:15, trustworthy is the saying and deserving of complete acceptance. Messiah Yeshua came into the world to save sinners, of who I am foremost. Yet for this reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Messiah Yeshua might demonstrate his complete patience as an example of those about to put their trust in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The demonstration of atonement for Shaul, while being as great of a sinner as he was, is a reminder that none of us can be so far from Adonai that he cannot blot out our sins, not pay for our sins with his blood. Remember what Shaul said about his sin? He said, what he doesn't want to do, he does. And what he wants to do, he doesn't. We're all in the same boat. But that doesn't mean that we give up fighting our sins, but fight them knowing that the Ruach is with us and fights alongside of us. Save us from our sins. So here we have five covenants made by Adonai through different men in Scripture. Each one builds upon the previous, and none of them eliminates the previous. Not even the final one given, the one called the New Covenant. Noah's covenant was not overtaken by the Abrahamic covenant, which was not overtaken by the Mosaic covenant given at Mount Sinai. Not overtaken by the covenant promised in Jeremiah 31, which is not overtaken by the fulfillment of Messiah Yeshua, who in reality is the covenant of our coming eternity. Each could be said to advance the idea of the journey that Adonai's creation is taking in order to spend eternity with him. So we have to know and maintain that not one of the covenants supersedes the previous one. Not one of the covenants is ever done away with. All of Adonai's promises are forever yes and amen. So, Father, we thank you that when you make a covenant with us, it is an eternal covenant, a forever covenant, a covenant that is never broken, never superseded. That each one of them has a specific place and reason, that they build upon each other, and that they build for us until we get to that place. We will be before the throne, Messiah Yeshua's return, and allows us resurrection before the throne when we're covered by the blood, as promised as a covenant through Jeremiah, as a promise through a covenant with David, as a promise as a covenant through Isaiah. Over and over again, your word tells us this. And over again, we will believe it until that final day. We thank you for the ability to have confidence that when we come to you, regardless of how dirty we are by sin, you can cleanse us. Whether it's the first time we've ever turned back to you or turned to you, or it's the first time we're turning back because we've accepted, but wait, the same day we've sinned again, or whether it's the next day, or the week, or the year, or the month, or the eternity, it just goes on and on because we're flesh. but you are denied. You go on and on, and your love and mercies go on and on, and you cleanse us. So Ruach, we ask, help us not to need that cleansing. Help us to fight the sins that we have. But thank you, Yeshua, for your self, for your stepping down from heaven for the moment, showing us how to live, and then dying for our sins, shedding the blood to cleanse us. We just praise you and thank you, and everyone says, amen and amen.